The following show is intended for a mature audience.
But it's really funny.
So, if you're underage,
go to bed.
Easily offended,
get over yourself.
Or just got a gigantic stick up
your ass.
Okay. You all might want to go do some needlepoint or something.
It's the Jethro Silverwing Show on online gaming radio.
It's time to kick your feet up, tune in and waste some time. It's time to waste 2 hours, Jethro Show tonight.
Hey there, Dwarf!
Hey, Jesus!
It's like a tragic tale, all the crazy things he makes us do.
I'm just clattering up my ale. To use it.
Well, it's time to get it started on the most sensational, entertainable,
merchantable, perfect, whimsical. This is what we call Jethro Silverwing Show.
Oh, we're gonna get sued by the ghost of Jim Henson. I know it.
And hello there, everyone. This is the Jethro Silverwing Show for May 26, 2000. And nine. This is Jethro Silverwing, your host, your maitre d', the man of the hour, the guy trying not to get his ass kicked right now. Okay, with me as always, my love, my main squeeze, the girl next door, it's the girl downstairs, my wife, Zelda Jenna!
Hail and greetings.
How's it going today, Elquin?
Good. Good for a Tuesday.
Good for a Tuesday. After having a long weekend, I really didn't want to go back to work today.
Well, neither did I, especially when I thought yesterday was Sunday.
Yeah.
It's like I come out and go, why is wrestling on a Sunday? Oops.
Because? Yeah, it's not Sunday. Yeah. It's not where I want to go.
Oh, I could love this bow.
Do you know?
Yes.
What bow would that be?
Eagle Talon.
Would that be the mythical Eagle's Talon?
It is.
Yay. And you know, I've gone 2 weeks now with my epic and I haven't announced it.
That's true. Twerp.
Well, actually, not really 2 weeks. Just over a week now. Yeah, I got my fabled epic. My help cannot do what I was hoping she'd be able to do.
Really?
Nope, she says she can't make it.
Well, I'm sorry.
Her invis does not work that well. Not like the scouts.
Huh.
Oh well.
That's unusual.
Well, we'll have to find something else. So, let's see, what's going on in the news this week? Let's see. Everyone is in an uproar. John and Kate plus eight. That damned show that's been on, what is that on? E! Or the Health Channel or something like that? I don't know. Man and a woman, they have eight kids and they're documenting how hard it is to raise kids. Well, I guess they went on an interview of some kind. TLC, thank you, JXia. She went on this talk. They went on this talk show to talk about how hard it is and stuff like that. And they started talking about how hard it is to, try to live their lives in front of the camera and stuff like that. And everyone's like, "You asked for this. You signed a contract. TLC is basically paying your bills." So what the hell are you complaining about? And I guess she made some kind of comment. She made some kind of comment on how hard it is financially, and a reporter just came up to her, you know, live on TV during this interview, and basically and ripped her a new one. You know, I'd like to see you try telling that to the family whose, you know, main breadwinner is now out of work and stuff like that. I mean, you're getting, you know, you're set. TLC has you set for now, so you have absolutely nothing to complain about. She's just being a big whiny baby about it. So I say to John and Kate Plus 8 and all those other little pissant reality shows where they're glorifying these kids, these people having litters. They're not children, they're litters.
Yeah, more than one is a litter.
I say to you people, go to hell. That's all I
have. Oh, come on.
They have no... Why are you glorifying these people, is my point. They have absolutely no reason to be glorified whatsoever. Population problem in the world today, and they're bringing dozens of kids into the world that they can't afford to take care of. Screw them.
You just insulted Jolynn.
I insulted who?
Jolynn.
Why did I insult Jolynn?
Because she's saying she guessed she had a litter. I think what your problem is, hon, is these people who have, you know, like 8 kids.
My ex-wife has
shot.
A litter.
How many has she got?
My ex-wife has 5 kids other than mine. And...
Oh, I insulted Jolynn. I said more than one's a litter. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, I don't say more than one is a litter. I say more than, you know, 3 is a friggin' litter, and they shouldn't be having them.
Now you're insulting Jolynn now. You said she only had 3. You hit 3 numbers, so you're in trouble.
Sorry, my parents had 3, and that's the way we liked it.
Uh-huh.
And what is it? This Octomom?
Yeah, she had 7 kids at one shot, or 8 kids at one shot. Then she has... Like,
and they were all...
4 other ones or something?
And they were all intrauteral, you know, artificial insemination. Give me a break. What is it? God, I saw... You know those demotivation posters?
Oh, she had 6 before, then she had 8. My God, that's a lot of
kids. But you know those demotivational posters, the ones that are, you know, insulting instead of helpful? I saw a great one aimed at Octomom. It was like, the Denny's Octoplatter. You get 8 eggs... 8 eggs, no sausage, and the guy next to you has to pay for it all.
That's the main point. Is
because they're all on friggin' welfare or being raised by someone else. If you want to have 12 kids, pay for them your damn self or sew it shut. I'm sorry. That's... Sew it shut, tie it off, whatever the hell it is you're going to do. Anyway. See how I act when we have guests on. We have a guest...
And you're being rude.
Who's being rude?
You.
Why am I being rude?
Just in general.
I like being rude. We have a guest this week. Ladies and gentlemen, with us is Spider-Bite. Spider-Bite from the EQ2 area in the all-new ZAM.com.
How's it swinging?
Spider-Bite, how are you doing today?
I'm just doing ducky. How about yourself?
I'm doing just fine. Did you realize that when you came on the show we were going to be discussing artificial insemination and talking about multiple births and stuff like that?
No, I wasn't surprised.
Right. Oh, and to answer your question, it swings down to the low and to the left, okay?
Yeah, lies. Pictures are never happened.
Oh, okay. And
we have pictures. I have no idea.
Oh, I thought you were talking about you. Okay.
No. I have to borrow one.
I have no idea what the hell you people are talking about.
So Octomom, though, is a pretty cool subject, though. It's kind of funny. You did hear that she was offered a $1 million contract from Vivid Video to do an 8-on-1 porn
what?
For them. Yep.
You gotta be
and
kidding.
And at first
me.
She turned it down and claimed, oh, I'll never exploit myself like that. And then the Vivid president came out and said, she said yes, and I guess her attorney told her later to turn it down.
Oh.
So she was literally going to do the video for the million bucks.
Probably told her to turn it down because that would give the Child Protection Agency another reason to take her kids from her, which they want to do.
You know, I'd have to go on to Medicare or Social Security or something just to afford the medication to get the image out of my head after watching something like that.
Ew. It's just the bottom line of people not pulling their own weight. I mean, you could go off on the aliens that come in. Not aliens from space. Aliens from across the border.
Mm-hmm.
They hand them everything. Everything.
Do you realize that if you want to... Well, I'm not sure about now, but a year ago, if you wanted to be all set, you wanted to start your own business and stuff like that, the best thing you could have been was an illegal alien.
Absolutely. Tax-free.
I mean, shit, I was born in this country, and I couldn't get crap. I mean, nobody gets crap now. But, you know, when things were good, I mean, they're handing out credit cards, like slices of bologna. You know, it's like, hey, here you go. You want a little mayonnaise on that credit card? There you go. Chop it all. But me, with full-time job, income coming in, born in this country, I couldn't get crap.
Well, here's a little skeleton in my closet.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, I was an illegal alien.
Where were you from?
In Canada.
My God.
You guys are okay.
I'm not a Canadian. I went up there. I had my best friend was up there. She lives, you know, way up in northern Alberta, Canada, as close to the North Pole as anybody you'll ever know.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up there to give her hand because she'd been really sick, and the doctors really is one of those, we don't know if you're going to live or if you're going to live a long, happy life. So just in case I never got to see her again, I went up there.
Mm-hmm.
And since I was up there, you know, I was only staying a couple weeks, and all of a sudden I realized how bad off she was. I thought, you know, maybe I better give her a hand while I'm up here with the meds and stuff like that, because that's one thing the Canadian medical system doesn't cover. So I went out and got a job. My family owns restaurants. It was no big deal to step in, jump into a restaurant and work for a little while. I wound up being there a year.
Oh.
And then I got the old immigration escort from Calgary, Alberta to Ottawa, and then escorted onto a plane. But I got to say, Canadian immigration is really nice. Completely polite, treated me to all my meals along the way, to the airports, even walked me on and paid for my first beer on the plane.
No. What do? Come up and go, hey, you really don't belong up here. You don't own a toque. We're going to have to, you know.
They visited our house for about 6 months straight. About every 2 weeks, they'd come and knock on the door and say, listen, do you have your paperwork yet? I'm like, no, I'm still working on it.
Hmm.
And the restaurant that had hired me really wanted me to stick around, so they were really working on getting me one. They just weren't spending the money on it. And it cost about $11,000 to get a work visa in Canada.
Wow.
Ouch.
For the employer.
Ouch.
And it came down to the point where they really didn't have the money. They just weren't telling me. They wanted me to keep working. And I need to get out of there anyways. My friend was doing much better. I need to get back to the States. So I took the free ride from immigration. The last time they came and knocked on the door, I said, nope, and I'm not getting it. And they said, all right, we'll be back in 2 weeks. Say your goodbyes and pack up. And it was nice. It was like a 5-star ride all the way back home into the States. Now I can't go back for 5 years, but three now.
I have never been out of the United States.
You've never been to Canada?
Really?
I have lived in New Hampshire and Washington, you know, two states that are really close to the Canadian border, or right on the Canadian border, I should say. But no, I've never made the trip to Montreal or British Columbia.
We'll have to take you up to BC, but we'll have to get our all-in-one cards to go up.
Yeah, the new driver's licenses, yeah.
Yeah, be easy. Because it's like, oh, we're 2 hours from the Canadian border.
If
2 hours.
Canada's beautiful. Canada's just beautiful.
I don't want to drive in Vancouver, though. Please, no.
No, we're going around it.
We are not driving through that. No,
well,
we did it once.
Well, everyone,
big mistake.
Everyone knows how Canada got its name. Everyone had a meeting. Of course, you know, there was only 20 people in Canada. They all had a meeting, and they had a bunch of letters in a hat. And they asked the youngest of them to come up and pull letters out of the hat and announce them. So he pulled one out and said, C-A-N-A. D, A, hey, there we go, Canada. Hey.
Anybody goes to Canada, they always go to the parts like on the far east or the far west, right in the middle in Alberta and Saskatchewan. You got to go through the Canadian Rockies. It makes the scenery in the U.S. look pathetic. I mean, it's really it's really unbelievable. They've got the glaciers. They've got everything. But man, is it cold! They had that was my first experience waking up. The first month I was there, the girl I was visiting, she went to work, left me a note on the refrigerator door that said, "Don't go outside, no matter what. I'll explain when I get home." Yeah, I thought, what's going on? Is there a drug bust I don't know about? What's going on?
No, it was probably below. It was probably under 20 below.
It was 54 below.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
And it was, and what they did is she left the newspaper out, and I just happened to glance at it. They have what's called fatal freeze warnings, where mm-hmm. people literally die while driving their cars.
Yep.
In the middle of the night, because it's so cold, their engine stops, they don't have heat running,
mm-hmm.
and it's too cold to walk anywhere because they didn't dress to be outside.
Yep.
And, you go outside, 10 minutes outside with any exposed freezes solid.
No, in New Hampshire, I remember at least half a dozen times in the last 10 years that during the month of either January or February, they've had to close all the schools because we've gotten a Canadian cold snap. And it gets to, 30 some odd degrees below zero. And it's like any exposed flesh, and you're pretty much gone. That's it.
I got to laugh at, because Obama commented on the same thing about D.C. But I'm up in that neck of the woods. I'm in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear they close the schools here when it gets below 40. Or if there's more than, if it rains for more than a half hour, they're doing school closings here.
Well, that's stupid.
That's weird.
Well, it's unbelievably stupid.
I am telling you, I got to put on the accent here. I'm telling you, I grew up in New Hampshire, and the way that our school superintendent used to run it, if he couldn't shovel to his car, there was no school. That's how it was when I was a kid. If the superintendent could not shovel to his car, there was no school. Needless to say, we didn't have a lot of snow days when I was a kid. this is... Post blizzard of 78.
Oh yeah.
So
that was in Chicago then, I remember.
Yeah, I was in I was 7 years old in New Hampshire. I thought the blizzard was great.
Oh, we had a blast.
Oh yeah, seven years old, we had a freaking ball.
Climbing the snow drifts to get up on the roof of the house.
My dad went outside with the hose and actually iced up the backyard because we had 7 feet of snow in the backyard because it all caught in, because we were all fenced off. All the snow drifts caught in our backyard. We had like 7 feet of snow, and he iced up the top of it. We were digging tunnels and stuff like that. We had a great time.
Yes, my best experience, of course, I saw the Northern Lights up there, which are unbelievable.
I'd like to see
everybody
that.
Makes a big deal about them. But when you're in there at 3 in the morning, and yeah, I did have to get up at 3 in the morning for that stupid restaurant I worked in. But I'd look up, and I was at a bus stop, because I didn't have a car there. I didn't have a license there. And I was and I just happened to notice out of the corner of my eye, then it just happened to get brighter and brighter and brighter. And then all of a sudden, next thing I know, the guy who lived down the corner of the bus stop comes out and goes, "Are you okay?" He thought maybe I froze to death. And I go, "No, I'm fine. I was watching the lights." He's like, "Okay, I'm just making sure, because the bus just went by 3 times. It went by every hour and a half."
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. People, say, "Oh, well, it's pretty pictures. I've seen the pictures. They're pretty." It's unbelievable in real life. Then the second biggest thing was watching polar bears play. They were making a mini mall across the road from where I was living. And I just happened to get up in the morning and look out the back window. And in one of the foundations they had dug and then left for the winter, there's a family of polar bears sliding down and running back up and sliding down into them. Amazing sight.
Just having fun, huh?
Yep.
Nice. You know something I just realized? Calthane is going to listen to this podcast later and go, they're not talking about Zam at all. What the hell?
Oh, I know.
We're getting there. We're warming up.
We're warming up to it. Okay.
The only experience I have of Canada and the most vivid of memories is going to Harrison Hot Springs area to camp, being drowned by a rainstorm and watching foot-long slugs go through the camp.
Ooh.
Oh. Made our tent. It was waterproof, not afterwards. Couldn't figure out why all the campers around us had all these huge tarps way up in the treetops. It was like, What the hell? Now I know.
Yep.
Never been back. Never been back after that.
Fish out of water.
Yep. All right. You know, before we go any further, I have a ding to announce, a very special ding.
Bring it in.
Ring-a-ding. No, very special ding. Doofu the Drunken Dwarf has dinged to level 23, the first ding in 2 years.
Not my fault.
So there we go. Doofu the Drunken Dwarf. I was bored last night. Freaking bored. Like, well, what can I do with a monk? What the hell do I know about playing a monk? Elquin's the one that got him to level 20, not me. I don't have any clue what any of these skills do. So I'm looking at the descriptions. Okay, I clear out all my hotkeys, and I open up my knowledge book. All right, let's see. What does that do? Okay, that one's damage. That one's damage. Wow, they got a lot of damage. Damage. Okay, that's a buff. Well, you know, I'm separating them into the hot, you know, into my hot bars. Okay, this entire hot bar is damage. This one is buffs, and this one is group attack, and... I do have a beef I want to air over the show today. I got an opportunity to watch Xanadai and Lowkick from the Legion of Kithakor, both monks, dueling against training dummies.
Mm-hmm.
And they had what was it called? Something fist, devastating fist.
Don't know.
I think it was called devastating fist. Did freaking... God, what was it? 200... No, something like 600,000 points of damage? Or something like that? Or it was some ungodly amount. What the hell is that about? I don't get anything that does anywhere close to that.
Devastating Fist.
Devastation Fist, according to Akisha.
Devastation Fist.
261,000 points of damage, according to Barak.
Isn't that an AA? So ability?
What the hell? We don't get anything that comes close to that.
Nerf it.
I know, that's not fair.
It isn't fair.
No, it's not an AA.
It is a normal monk ability, and apparently you have to complete some kind of a line through the wound.
It instant kills any non-arrowed mob every 15 minutes. Non-arrowed mob?
And Clorny on the Befallen server
kills anything with no up arrows, okay.
And Clorny on the Befallen server is saying the Shadow Knights get a better one. What the hell?
See, now you were getting me all excited, so I decided to look, and I just noticed because I get to see different stats on a PvP server. And I'm looking, getting all excited, going, oh, I gotta work my bruiser up now if there's a similar ability. And, of course, at the bottom it's got the side note, not valid in PvP, so never mind.
And you can't use it on heroics, either.
Well, that's all fine and dandy, but I want something that does friggin' 200,000 points of damage. The best I can muster, you know, is, you know, that 10K one that we got, you know, the sniper shot. I mean, yes, we can use it every 15 minutes or something like that, but for God's sake... Walking up on someone and going,
You know, my sniper shot does 13.
Well, that's because you have your mythical now.
Does 13,000 points of damage.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jolin is saying that you're basically punching them in the face. That's not punching them in the face. That's punching them through their face. It's like, oh, damn, now I got to get this skull off my wrist. Give me a break.
You have monk envy.
Udeg over here in the IRC channel saying he believes it's an ancient teaching.
Ancient,
whatever that means.
Ancient teaching.
Ancient teaching. The ancient art of beating someone's face in. Anyway.
That's a god ability.
Oh, boy. So anyway, that is my rant for the week.
And if you're bored because why? I'm off playing Free Realms?
Everyone is off playing Free Realms.
Well, if I came back, would you play with me? Would you come hunt with me or what?
Hun, everyone is gone.
Yeah, Free Realms is pretty much the thing.
I mean, there are 8 people online at the Legion of Kithacor right now. And that's only because the show's on.
Other than that, I think we'd all be in Free Realms.
Other than that, for God's sake, every day I log in, there's only like me, True Flight, and Drelzna, or one of her alts. And that's pretty much it. I'm bored as all hell. I don't know.
Well, I'll come back, but will you help me?
Can't you do both? I do both.
He won't do it.
See, what? I just allocate 2 hours to Free Realms, because otherwise that game is so addictive.
No, I'm not playing Free Realms ever.
Only because it's one of those games, it's like, I can't even think. It's like that stupid game Bejeweled that's all over the place.
Yes,
on your cell phone, everywhere.
And they have Bejeweled on Free Realms, too.
Yeah, they do.
Sort of,
the harvesting. Oh, don't tell me about it, because I suck at Bejeweled. I suck like you wouldn't believe at it.
Matching
but my biggest
stuff.
Thing is the cooking. I love the cooking, the chef class, the profession.
Hmm.
So I have to, and they make you constantly do this Bejeweled game over and over and over. It's not like you go around and just grab nodes like you do in EQ2, which is what I was hoping.
No.
That was my expectation for the chef
You
class.
Have to play the little mini game to harvest I love it.
But you know what? From a marketing standpoint, it's absolutely brilliant, because who cares if the level cap is at 20? This will keep the 8-year-olds at bay. It just became the world's biggest babysitter for latchkey kids.
Hear that, Elkman? It's a kid's game.
Well,
it's not
it is.
Just a
absolutely.
Kid's game.
No, adults can enjoy it. But they got to have mindset when they go in that it is designed for to be entertaining for children.
Right, which
so
is exactly why World of That's exactly why World of Warcraft is so popular.
Well, exactly.
It's
and that's the kind of fun thing. You'd be surprised how many World of Warcraft people are actually playing Free Realms, and they're the funniest ones to watch on the Free Realms discussion forums.
Oh, yeah?
Because they're the ones going, I just hit 20 in every profession, what now? Where's the raid instances?
What are these guys doing? And they're, I mean, do they have a life? I'm sorry, but I haven't reached level 20 in all of the jobs yet. I mean, what are they doing? I mean,
some
like they're burning through 16. The content. Like,
well, that's what all people do in MMOs who are the instant gratification whores.
Mm-hmm.
They jump in, they get bored, and then they bitch and moan because there's no expansion for a year. Or two in the case of World of Warcraft.
We have another ding to do.
Oh, who's ding now?
G-E-Z-M?
Gazern?
Yeah, he hit level 70.
There you go. Gazern just got his ding of the night. God, somebody dinged last night while I was in game. Who was it? Let's see. That's...
In the meantime, Udeg in the IRC channel says that only the devastating punch is only depth 3, and it needs a trade skill to make, and it's a rare drop.
Hmm.
Udeg plays over on Vox, by the way, a fellow PvP colleague of mine.
Damn you and your PvP!
I get that a lot.
I still say. I'd like to see Guild Raid, the old slash Guild Raid command in EQ2 like they had in EQ1.
You mean Guild War?
Guild War. Just like they had in EQ1, the two guild leaders meet, they target each other, they both type Guild War, they accept. Actually, in EQ1 you had to type, it was like slash Guild War, and then you put in the number of days. So it was like, target your opposing guild leader, and it was slash guild wars space 7. or something like that. That way you can get two heels going PvP, and it was PvP all the time.
Yes.
Until that timer ran out, or the two guild leaders met again and canceled it.
Called it off.
Called
that
it
was,
off.
That was interesting.
Those were great times.
When guild halls came out, that was a demand on the PvP servers. They wanted it where you could open your guild hall for invasion.
Mm. Now, here's the question.
That they could come in from the opposite faction,
yeah,
whether they're friended or not.
We brought this up last week. I think originally the guild hall guards were supposed to actually defend on PvP servers. Do they do that?
No, that was their goal. And it evades me why we're paying for them in my own guild hall if they're not doing anything good, standing there and looking pretty and, you know, voguing.
Yeah.
I still think they should, you know, give the guild guards the same sort of set that the city guards have, with one exception. If it's a member, they don't attack. If they're not a member and they're from an opposite city, then they do attack.
Absolutely.
But then there's an extra condition in there, too, so I don't know how they would code that in.
Yeah.
It's
quite possible that opposite factions will be attacked by those guards. I don't think anybody's ever even tried it.
Well, there you go. When you go back to your PvP server, go into someone's opposing faction guild hall and see what happens.
That's the issue, though. How do you get to it? All the places that are where the bells are at, you know, that's a little tough to get to without being, you know, dropped within a heartbeat.
Couldn't tell you.
You can't use the bells without getting ganked.
I have no idea. I haven't even tried. I mean, there's immunity on the docks for the major cities. But on your way there, you know, it's not just a matter of, hey, I'm here. You got to get into, don't you have to get into, I've never been to Kinos, believe it or not, other than on the test server. But I imagine the bell for the Kinos Guild Halls is in Kinos, right?
No, it's on the docks and on Tonica. Just like the guild halls for the Tier 3 in Freeport are off of the common lands.
So basically, okay, so I guess the only risk then would, on a PvP server, be you have to run through Thundering Steps to get to Intonica.
Right.
Okay. That's not bad. I could give that a shot then.
Give it a shot. Let us know.
But then again, unless their guild hall's open to everybody, which most guild halls are not, there's no way to test that. Because being not a friend, you can't get in.
Oh, I see. So on the PvP servers, you can actually set it to lock out the opposing factions?
I thought it was that on all servers.
No.
Yeah, they want to know if there's a bell to Antonica from the TS docks, but they might have that on the PvP server.
I'll have to look. I can't remember. I didn't know if they added that. Because that was a recent addition, right?
I know they added it here.
Yeah, that was recent, though.
It might be on the PvP server as well, because we have the one for Common Lands. So
next week on the Jethro Silverwing Show, Spider-Bite gives us his report on trying to invade an opposing guild hall.
Well, right now it would be easy on my server, because it was announced that we're being merged with Nagafin, other PvP server. So the server right now is kind of in a coma.
Huh.
And one server is a role-playing server, right? And the other one is not.
Right, but I mean, come on. Role-play these days, on any, even on Antonio Bale, although the numbers are larger. What's role-play? Yeah. You know, people throw that around so flimsily, unlike they did 5-10 years ago.
Yeah, it's not like it used to be.
No.
I mean, it is there, but it's mostly private roleplay now.
Yep. You go and you hide away in your guild hall and roleplay if you want to roleplay. Otherwise, you still face the same ridicule or whatever. I roleplay 100% of my characters.
Although, if you want open, you know, a lot of open roleplay, Freeport is the city to go to.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of open roleplay on Antonia Bale.
When I first joined EQ2, that's how I got into the guild. I've been in ever since the first week I was in EQ2. Little Mouse with her friend the troll came just trotting up to me and just role-played their little hearts out to me, and I went, oh, I found a home.
There you go.
And, yeah, they... And then I spent a week looking around at other guilds, because I'm not an idiot. And I went back and, yeah, and role-played myself right into the guild. But the guild's not a role-playing guild. It's a casual guild. But they're what I like to call role-play friendly.
Right.
Where they'll tolerate it and play along with it. At the same time, they're telling Chuck Norris jokes or whatever.
Nice.
Just like anything. I mean, my tolerance for that kind of thing has gotten a lot higher over the years. I've learned to adapt.
Well, speaking of role play, I do have to make this announcement. The third annual Festival of Unity will be held on the Antonia Bale server in Antonica from May 31st to June 6th. You can go to guildportal.com and do a search for Festival of Unity, or you can go to kithacore.org, and I have a banner up on my media site. So those of you who are listening and like listening to my music, just go to my music site. I got a banner right there at the top, Festival of Unity. Spring blooms, Antonica beckons. Good people of Norrath, bring your sons, your daughters, your dogs, your gnolls, your orcs. It's a week-long celebration of life, love, friendship, and we're going to try to massively role-play our asses off. Matter of fact, I think that's going to be the tagline for next year. The Festival of Unity. Role-playing our asses off. So there we go.
So, Spider, how would you talk a person like me, who has never really done PvP outside of just controlled or voluntary type PvP, how would you talk me into trying a PvP server? Especially since I've got this terrible fear of
dying,
of being born into the world, and then there's this person standing there going, oh, you're a newbie, whap, I wake up, yep. Oh, you're back, whap.
The first thing I always tell new players who are curious about it is, try it. You got how many character slots? I mean, come on. It doesn't hurt to roll. Try it out. You don't have to make your decision in the first 5 minutes. Come back and visit it when you're bored. Everybody likes to change every once in a while. So go play on a different server. Go play in a different game. Well, go play on a PvP server. Most of the people that have that were brand new to EQ2 that have come in and immediately found me via the forums or through the guild tool. I said, hey, I'm new here. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm standing out here. I've just got killed 300 times. It's like, well, first thing you got to do is don't worry about the dying. That's secondary anyways. That's going to happen no matter what on a PvP server.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the whole point. People are out there to kill other players.
I was just going to say, I mean, if you don't want to die, don't go to a PvP server.
Yeah, exactly. If dying in a video game really, really, really upsets you, it's probably not going to be your thing. If you're okay going laughing it off, because you lose nothing when you die in PvP.
Right.
Other than maybe if you're stupid enough to be carrying gold or platinum, you always bank before you leave a city, duh. But otherwise, you don't lose anything. They can't rifle through your bags, and unfortunately, although I wish there was a looting rule, back in the other games I played, we used to dry loot people, which meant you stripped everything, even their armor off of them, and then if you were mean like me, you'd cut their armor up in front of them and drop it on the ground, meaning destroyed it. Those days are long gone, but... No, you lose nothing. There's a very slim chance that a random item from your bag that is non-attunable and not lore or no trade will they'll get. Usually that's a harvested item. You don't lose fuel if you're a trade skiller. You lose almost... Basically, you loot the thing. The only thing you have to deal with is the fact that you just died. And you have, a minute of... revive sickness.
What about your gear? Is your gear get dinged?
Gear's fine. Nope. There is no
penalty
damage to
on the gear.
Only from PvE mob.
And no penalty on the experience bar for your death.
Nope.
Wow, okay.
There you go then.
you don't even lose fame anymore after a recent change. And fame is a system that's on the PvP servers where you can get titles for your PvP.
Ah.
So there's nothing to lose, and that's the kind of the frame set you have to go into it with. The other thing I tell them is lose the habits you made if they're from a PvE server or from a game that was strictly PvE. Lose those habits.
Such
people
as?
Get in the habit. Well, you get. Let's say you came over from Antonio Bale. You roll in Nariok. You roll a tune. You start in Darklight Woods, mm-hmm. and you start running around doing the linear quest lines. Obviously, that is going to be what majority of new players are going to do. So as soon as you ding level 10, that's when you become attackable by anybody. Well, anybody within the level range, because it's, you know, a little, you know, between 4 to 10 levels, depending on which tier you're in, that person can attack you. So, like, a level 8, you can't come up and whack a level 10 person. But basically, if you start in an area, don't start doing those linear quest lines. Run over to common lands and start the old quest lines there. Because people know where the new players are going, and they're going to camp it. It's like fishing for trout. Everybody knows where the trout spots are. So why would, if you were a trout, why would you hang out with all the other trout if you knew that's where the fishermen were at? Go somewhere where there are no people. Do your questing elsewhere. You got to break the habits of the PvE. Don't go AFK, duh, stupid things like that. It can be fun. You just can't expect to win right away. There are people who create alts who are veterans on a PvP server. They've got all the platinum bank on their other main character. And they're going to be way over... You're basically going to be fighting them like you were in a... You're fighting an armor of a paper bag and wielding a sword made of a plastic straw. So there's just no, you know, you just stand there, take your medicine, get up and make a note of that name and say, one day I'm going to come back and I'm going to get that person.
Mm-hmm. Remember and 6 years ago when you ganked me at level 5?
Exactly.
I don't even know who you are. I bought this account on eBay.
Doesn't matter, pal.
But the best part is you can't even hear what they're saying. So it's not like you have to sit there and listen to smack talk for these people if they kill you.
Also on PvP, there's a language barrier.
There's a language barrier. If you don't know the language, you don't understand what they're saying.
Ah.
So all it is gibberish. So they can spout out all they want. Now there are people who get creative and like rename their pet something stupid. But I don't stick around for that. And of course I don't revive 10 feet away either. So that they can hit me again as soon as I come out of immunity. I revive on the other side of the freaking zone.
There you go.
And go about my business. I'm a harvester by trade on a PvP server. I can hold my own for the most part against another player. But I'm harvesting most of the time. If I'm in the same zone, it doesn't matter where I'm at. I'm still harvesting the same tiered nodes. So, fine, you got me. I'm not going to sit around and watch you teabag me for 10 minutes.
Right.
There's a reason they put that big, fat revive screen up in front of you. It's like a sensor block on ABC. You just hit revive, and you go as far away as possible, and you go about your business.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't get it, and they get upset, and those are the people that don't need to play. People that stick around, they're the ones that laugh about it and keep going.
Your kamikaze runs.
Oh, God, yeah, kamikaze runs. Death. Yeah. I mean, we got death taxi, taxi rides too, like you do on the PvE servers, where, you know, you see a whole bunch of people there that are of the opposite city faction. It's a no win situation. Hey, dive in screaming, beat Jackie Chan and fight, and hopefully you take one of them down. That's enough for me. All I need is that revive screen because I need to get to the other side of the server and. Just, hey, thanks, guys, for the ride.
So just pick up your pick up your axe, charge in, Leroy
Jenkins. That's one way to get to the other side of the zone.
Yeah.
Kill me.
There's no real reason. There's no way to talk somebody into joining PvP if they don't want to.
Right.
If they're bored, a lot of the people, like my friend Jackie, I don't know if you guys know her, you know, did the old EQ2 Alchemy site. She had always played PvE, and she was bored. And I came out and I said, you know, why don't you just come over on Venacore? It's very low population. It's not in your face like Naggafen is with, you know, 20 groups sitting in front of every city and zone in point. And try it out. And she's worked some characters all the way up. I don't even know what she's at right now. But she's worked them up pretty high level. And enjoys it. It's like a vacation from her, for her. From her usual grinds, doing raids and stuff like that. Goes out, fights some bunch of people, then goes home.
Now, I do have to read a message from Morian from the Antonia Vale server, who says her favorite thing to do when she's bored, because she is in the Knights of Freeport here on the Antonia Vale server, her favorite thing to do when she's bored is to actually go out on a patrol of Freeport like she's an actual guard, and the Knights of Freeport do that kind of thing, and she will actually shake down and extort money from strangers.
Nice.
And sometimes like they'll give her money.
Wow. That's cool.
It is.
If the guards didn't whack me in Kinos, I'd make a few trips over there just for the fun of it.
Hey.
Play a thug.
Sure.
Oh, we're brigand after all. Why not?
Can't you sneak around the guards?
Yeah, there's ways into the Kinos.
Is the guards in inner city guards tougher on a PvP than a PvE?
You know, I don't think they're any tougher. I think they scale the same way.
Because there's a lot
it's
of
still great. An insta kill. It scales up. I mean,
I'm level 80. I can run around Freeport, and there's only like one per zone that I have to watch out for.
Yeah, level 80. That's like 84 triple up epic. Yeah,
you know, times four group. You know, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Right.
Here's another shameful fact about spider bite. I'm a slow leveler, much to the chagrin of my guild leader, who is dying for me to hit 80 as soon as possible and has been for the last 3 or 4 years. But my highest level tune 65. That's spider bite.
That's not bad.
And that's my choice. And that's just because I go on raids with people. I don't go often, but I go, and of course, you can avoid experience when you go on raids, whether you're doing anything or not. And that's what's kind of jacked me up that high. Otherwise, I'd probably still be at 45 enjoying Rivervale right at the moment. But nonetheless, at 65, I can go in and into Kinos, and the guards are orange to me. So I think you're right. By the time you hit 80, they're doing that little orc thing where they shudder and turn away from you.
Yeah.
Some of them do, some of them don't.
You know, one thing I don't like about Nariak, you can't really sneak around. I mean, you have to sneak around Nariak. Every single guard is like level 80 plus, and you know, quadruple, you know, raid and stuff. What the hell?
I don't understand that either. They really jacked it up to make it really hard, especially with. I don't know if you guys have ever betrayed, but man, is that tough.
No,
it really is tough to betray in that city.
You know, Jethel every once in a while will go walking around Freeport, and like, you know, like Elkwin said, I know where the, you know, one guard is in every zone that I need to avoid. Other than that, I'm just strolling along and stuff.
I took my assassin and betrayed it to exile because on the PvP servers they made it so that we can play this, so we can now play the opposite. Like, my assassin can play a ranger now. And that's what I decided to do, is I wanted it to be a ranger, an evil ranger. So I had to go exile, and then go back to the betrayal quest back into Nariak. And that was tough, because you've got people, even your guild mates, all they see is you're targetable, and they go and attack you. And it's like, whoa, hey, I'm trying to come back. Give me a break here. It's bad enough trying to avoid these guards. And I think I did it on my assassin when she was level 40. So, of course, the guards weren't... I couldn't even come in contact with them. It wasn't even going to be a fight. It was going to be an insta-kill.
Right.
I was a can of spam running around, basically. But yeah, I don't know why they made that so tough.
I like that, though. You could live in Freeport and still be a ranger or something.
Mm-hmm. I would love it if they'd be able to do that, because I tried betraying and becoming a...
Oh, God, that was terrible.
I tried betraying and becoming a assassin just to try it. I just wanted to try it. But, of course, everyone listening to the show right now freaked out! No, Jethel's a ranger, you can't do that! You know...
Well, there's one thing that, the reason they did that is because so many people on the PvP servers were going simply, they would exile and stay exiled. Hmm. And originally the exile faction was created for, on PvP, or well, existed on the PvP server the way it did, and why it was popular was because you got more PvP that way.
Right.
You were neither faction. You could fight anybody, Kinos or Freeport,
right.
And they could all attack you. Now, so people who really liked the PvP, they got more, yep. And later what happened is it became, well, you got to go exile if you want to raid. So everybody went exile so that they could have all the classes in their raid groups.
Right.
And because everybody's in the same faction there. So there were no people on the opposite faction, so the cities were kind of at a loss. So what they did is they made it so that you could become either class and still be evil or good. And that did balance it out quite a bit. Everybody went back to their home cities, to their own guilds, and stuff like that. So that's the reason it went on PvP and not PvE. PvE, you guys can play with whoever you want. You just can't go visit their home without a little bit of risk.
Right.
If you're younger, yeah. Level 80, it's like, fifth. I mean, I live in Freeport. I have a magical house in Freeport.
Can you really just go in,
pardon me? Uh-oh, they're coming to get you.
And I live right near a fire station. That always happens when there's a show on the air. Can you guys actually click on a Freeport home and enter then visit?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Are you attackable? Oh, never
nope.
mind.
Nope, we're not PvP.
Never
here,
mind.
Though.
Yeah, it's not PvP. Never mind.
No, I like going through Freeport. It's like, you have the guard name. You know, I don't know any of the guard names. We'll just call him Bob. It's like, Bob has spotted you. Well, yeah? Well, what are you going to do about it?
They salute me. They
Nariak?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Why do they salute you in
Nariak? In Freeport, they salute me.
Why?
They salute me because I'm level 80.
They shouldn't be saluting you. They don't
they
salute
do?
Me, and I'm level 80. It's probably because you have a house there.
No, they've done it before in the past.
No, this, I was, no. The saluting thing is a faction thing.
Well, they salute me. I'm serious. I can go there. I would go there now, but I'm in the Crucible right now. But
Have you been doing the Nariak writs out of Jarsus Waste or something?
No, you can't get them. Hmm. No, it was before I had a house there.
Udig just updated us in the IRC channel saying there is a bell on the PvP servers to Antonica from Thundering Steps.
There you go. Everyone in the in-game channel is saying it's because you have citizenship.
No.
Okay.
This
nope.
was they did this before I even got the house.
Okay.
I noticed that when I went over to use the crafting area. I was walking past the guards and they were friggin' saluting me. It's like, why are they saluting me?
I'm going to run over to Freeport and see them, because I know they're not saluting me. But I'm going to check it out. Because it certainly isn't because I'm level 80.
Well,
You've
done a betrayal quest, so I don't know if that's done anything to you. But yeah, I noticed they were saluting. I couldn't figure out why. I mean, I thought I was the enemy, but...
I don't know.
You know?
You guys discovered that. I will be right back in 10 seconds.
All right. You know what it is? It's because Elgwyn has a hot ass.
It's a guilt. Oh, they're saluting my butt?
Yeah, they're saluting your ass.
Oh,
wait. Morian's saying it may be because...
It's guild level.
Morian is saying it may be because one of your veteran awards... But I'm going to...
It might be the guild level.
Stone Stair, by the way. Let's see. I will go in, and I doubt very much they're going to salute me. But I'm going to try. It could be just about anything. I mean, you've done so many more quests than I have. Okay, so let's find a guard here. Yoo-hoo, guard! Alright, there's a guard right over this hill, I know. Right over these steps, I should say. They're not doing anything. I'll try hailing it.
Do not challenge my authority. In Freeport, the overlords, the rule is law.
Well, maybe they've changed it, but I sure remember being saluted by them.
I'm telling you, it's your ass.
It's like, she may be an elf, but that's one hell of an ass. I'm going to salute that.
You know? Nope.
Maybe it is. I don't know.
They're not saluting. They're not threatening me. You're just kind of standing around.
Well, you know, when I walk through Kinos, you don't get them to salute you all the time. They just sort of sporadically do it.
Now, Marion is saying that they salute all of her characters.
See, I'm not the only one. And Hoopy's gotten saluted.
Yeah, Hoopy's saying he's been saluted. I'm going to wander around a little bit here. Let's see here.
I have cats that hiss at me because I'm a Ratonga. Does that happen to everybody?
I think it's actually because you're a Ratonga.
Smear peanut butter on you.
That as much. I thought that was cute.
Okay, the guards in front of the library draw their weapons when I come near. But they're not going to attack me because they're a bunch of pussies.
Thermiturg Galex has spotted me. Yeah, do something about it. Come on. I want you to. Administer Fruggy in front of... What is this place?
The Temple of War threatened me. I'm going to go in the Temple of War. I better check my tracking first. Is anything high up in
there's some names in there, so named NPCs. They will attack, right?
Level 55 ones, though. So it looks like I'm okay.
So they're grayed out to you, and just like on a PvP server, they don't even know you exist,
now,
right? Just like a gray mob?
Right. Now, Occultist Levanicus, whatever, in the Temple of War did cheer at me. So that's kind of weird.
See? See? I'm not
you
crazy.
Go check your Shattered Lands
I am not crazy.
Faction.
Let's see. Shattered Land Faction.
I noticed them doing this after I hit level 80.
Well, maybe they're just retarded. Did anyone ever think about that? Maybe the guards of Freeport are just retarded.
It's quite possible.
By the way, if anyone really, really wants to see something funny, go to YouTube and look up the retarded policeman. It is a skit done by someone who was in the Second City comedy group or something like that, and they got a real retarded guy to fake play a police guy, and he pulls over people. Say, you know why I pulled you over? Because I was speeding? No, I just wanted to say hi!
That's awesome.
It's just some funny stuff. All right, Shattered Lands, blah, 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 blah. Who am I indifferent with? I am actually indifferent with the Freeport Militia? How the hell is that possible?
See? Quests in Thundering Steps will give you that.
It's either that I did actually do the Betrayal Crest once, so that probably raised me up quite a bit. But, yeah,
which faction?
The Freeport Militia. I'm indifferent with. How indifferent am I? Let me see.
You finding that under the Shattered Lions?
Yes. Shattered Lands, and I am actually...
I'm indifferent with the Freeport Militia, too.
Yep, I'm actually at zero with the Freeport Militia.
Yeah, these experiments are easy for you guys. On my server, if I were to step foot and start walking around Kinos, waving at the guards and having them cheer me, I'd wind up plastered across the level 1 to 9 chat on the Kino side for a half hour until everybody and their grandma on the server
Nice.
They all wanted a piece of you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is Spider Bite a vampire? Or is those
Spider
just
Bite
the
was
graphics
a vampire.
You... What is with the graphics on your blog?
That was an artist who did a bunch of comics from me, on me, about me, rather. I mean, he did satirical comics about Ultima Online for years, back in the 90s and 2000s. And he decided to feature me in a bunch of them, because I was very, very outspoken. I was one of those people that didn't like the developers, unlike today, where I liked the Sony developers.
Because you're working with them.
Well, I just enjoy. I don't have a problem with a lot of the stuff that's going on. And, you know, that makes me the quote unquote fanboy. But in my day, when I had my own talk show like this one, I actually had a producer of Ultima Online at the time come out and on the air with over 2,000 people listening, go, "You are such an asshole," and then rip his headphone off like people do, guests do on Larry King Live.
Wow.
And walk away. And I just got the head. Later, my theme song became I'm an Asshole by Dennis Leary.
Very nice.
I opened every show with that. But nonetheless, the vampire thing came from is that I role-played a vampire, and I was in a vampire guild in Ultima Online. So he created this cartoon of my character. And I did my blogs based on that, so that my blog goes back about, almost 12 years now. Not on that particular website, but on various websites. And my big thing was Spear's random travels, where I would go in game, sort of a candid camera kind of thing, and just really screw with people, tell them I was a developer, and I needed them to test a few things. So I'd have them chase chickens around and stuff like that. Or, you know, I'd screw with people that are trying to cyber with me. You know, I mean, I just had fun. And it was fun. But on the PvP servers, I role-played the vampire in a vampire guild. We literally, instead of just going out and randomly killing people, we role-played the kill. And then we would lay what we called a curse down by their body so that, you know, our PvP RP communities were very tight back then, so word got around, oh my god, such and such was killed, and they found a curse, go get VMP. That was a vampire guild. We gotta go hunt them down. And there was actually another guild that was knights who went and hunted people who killed other players, so they were like anti-PvP, or PK, player killers. And I just blogged about it all. But the random travels was the biggest one. That got me my 15 minutes of fame for a long time. And that's where the vampire thing came from. I've got the artwork for the Rotunga to replace the vampire on that site. It's just I've had so many things on my plate that I haven't gotten around to doing it. So I will retire the vampire spider bite on that website eventually. There were t-shirts for a long time out there with the funny PvP sayings, like making people sad and angry since 1996.
Oh, God.
I'm crying on the inside. I really am, while I'm laughing on the outside. PKs are people too. Nice. Have you hugged your corpse today?
I was actually going back on an old thread here on the Fanchite Roundtable, which is a board that not a lot of people know about. Because I thought for sure that, you know, I had posted a thing up there because there were so many Jethels in the game. And one of them was actually named Jethel Silverwing, but wasn't me on the Kithakor server. And, you know, going, who does the character belong to and stuff like that. And I thought you were actually one of the people who answered, you know, Jethel, I've never heard of you before. So I was going to try to rip on you.
I remember the round table for him.
What's that?
What's a round table for him again?
I thought you were on this.
No, maybe not.
Yeah.
The forums I frequented before I started playing EQ2.
No, on the EQ2 forums. Station.
Oh, it's possible.
I know.
It's quite possible. When I came into the game, 4 years ago or so, I knew nobody. I knew nobody.
But it was actually Brass who said that she never heard of me before. She knows who I am now, though. She's coming.
Oh, God.
We all do.
So we'll have to rip on her about that later.
You probably give lots of people nightmares, huh?
People just like, oh, Jethel inviting me out to a show, and people are like, don't do it. For God's sakes, don't do it.
It's always cool, though. You know, people become prominent in the community, the outspoken ones. A lot of people think they can become prominent by, you know, being negative all the time. That never gets them anywhere.
Yeah,
except with their own following or their own bandwagon.
Yeah, Delmon, knock it off.
You do something, you know, positive for the community, like your show or whatever. You know, people know your name. So it's always kind of cool when after a while somebody prominent like yourself, I remember getting a PM from you for the first time. What was that, a year ago or something like that?
Maybe something like
that. Asked me a question. I can't recall what it was, but... And it was just like, oh, hey, wow. He knows who I am.
Yeah.
And, you know, people get that way. I get that all the time when people come and PM me going, is this really Spider Bite? So, yeah.
I will still get that in game, everyone.
That's celebrities.
Matter of fact, I got that 2 days ago. A friend of ours, the guildmate of ours, Kithacor.org, the Legion of Kithacor, owns guildcloaks.com, where you can actually have your real guild cloak made. And she got a couple of orders and lost her screenshots that she needed for reference of the guild's actual cloak. So she asked me, hey, would you mind, you know, finding someone from the Vagabond Knights and from Mayhem on the Antonio Bale server and just snag some screenshots and email them to me? I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem. And, you know, I know some people on the Vagabond Knights, so I just send a text to someone, hey, can I just go around and take a screenshot of your clothing? Oh, yeah, come on, whatever. But I knew no one from Mayhem. So I just, okay, who all Mayhem? All right, well, here's someone who's actually in their guild hall, so I'm imagining they're not doing much. So, you know, everyone else was in a raid, apparently.
They do that a lot on Mayhem. They're a raiding guild.
Yeah. So I send a tell to this person on Mayhem, and like, hey, you know, I explain, you know, person ordered a cloak, and I need to get a screenshot so they can get it down right. And, oh, yeah, come on by the guild. They're on the Freeport server, by the way. Tier 3, and I've got to say, if you want to see a really well-put-together, evil Tier 3 guild hall, Mayhem on the Antonia Bale server, Tier 3 out in the harbor, very nice. I loved what they've done. But anyway, I go over there, and I'm about halfway there, and she sends me a tell back. Are you the guy that has the maiden fancies, you know, the naked roleplay gallery? A picture gallery? I'm like, yeah, that's me. And I get...
Did they lock the doors?
No. And I get there, only to my surprise, to find that it was a female character. Mostly, I get those kind of tells from guys. You know, going, nice. By the way, we do have some new additions to the Maiden's Fancy Gallery this week, and they're up right now. We have a celebrity edition. You would not believe the red tape I had to go through to get these pictures, but I part of the agreement was there can only be one portrait of each of them. They had to be tastefully done, and they had to mimic the official EverQuest posters. So, ladies and gentlemen, the Maiden's Fancy proudly presents Antonia Bale and Lucan Dallaire.
Not together in the same shot.
No, not together. That was part of the stipulations. They couldn't be together in the same shot because that would be exceedingly scandalous.
It'd be cool to see them hook up, wouldn't it?
Actually, if you go to the Knights of Freeport Hall... Oh, no, they changed it.
I paid $2.99 a minute to watch that. All right.
You know, the Knights of Freeport had actually set up a stage at one point. They've replaced it now. But they used to have a stage set up with Antonia... you know, it was, you know, obviously a mannequin with a mask, but she looked like she was naked, or new, you know, as close to naked as possible, with a, next to a pole. She was on a stripper's pole.
I just keep thinking Heather Graham and it's all good.
Yeah, I understand. I understand completely. You know, there are roses by your feet and stuff like that, and then Lucan is off to the side watching. So I thought that was funny. But yeah, if you go to Maiden's Fancy...
With a fiver in his hand? Rolled.
So yeah, maidensfancy.kithacor.org, and you'll click on gallery, and you'll see Lucan Dallaire and Antonia Bale. and they are almost I got it as close as I possibly could to mimicking their actual EQ2 box art. You know, you can get the one with Antonio, or you can get the one with Lucan. So I try to get as close as I can to that, and I think I did a pretty good job. But anyway, we're going to take a little music break, give our voices a little bit of a rest here, and take care of natural things if we need to do so, or smoke a butt, whatever. I know Elquin's gone just about an hour without a butt here, and she's probably freaking out big time.
No, I'm stuck in the crucible.
Okay. So, yeah, we're going to take a 15-minute break to rest the voices a little bit. When we come back, we may actually talk about Sam.com.
We better.
Right on.
Right on. Last week, I completely forgot to play my brand new song. It is actually a non-gaming parody. It's not about games. So we're going to play that one first. And it is up at the media site. So we'll be back in 15 minutes.
What do you want?
Sounds of swords clashing on shields, mass hysteria, it's mayhem out there.
That can mean one of two things.
What's that, sir?
Either there's a horde of rampaging orcs attacking the camp, or Chethel has released a new song!
The swellings of her chest, tender, plump, and supple memories draw our eyes to pretty girls. Sisters, well, we at your behinds, your tight jeans causing quite a stir, make our minds go all a blur. Can you see my eyes fall below your chin? Tell me, were you free them memories? Could be small or double D's. Make me smile like none other. Hypnotized by pretty girls. Oh, my pretty girls. Oh, my pretty girls.
Okay, and we're back. And now it's time for that wonderful game show that everyone loves to play. It's time for Where in Norrath is Cheez-It Nibble Buns?
Yeah!
Is he creeping around free for Kelethan or he knows? A stabby freak for Tonga that everybody knows. He'll fit inside your backpacks and run off with your cheese. Tell me where in Norrath is
Cheese and Nibble Buns.
Okay, it's time once again to find out where in Norrath is Cheez-It Nibble Buns. It's a game of 20 or more questions where you, the listeners, may win a Sony Online Entertainment Podcast t-shirt with cute little hamster on the back.
That's Hubert.
Is that Hubert? Hubert the hamster?
Yes.
He is not in a guild hall. Okay, go ahead and ask your questions in the in-game chat channel there. Try to narrow it down where he is, and he can be found somewhere that is a point of interest on a map.
I can take questions from the IRC chat, too.
Sure, you can do that. He is not in a guild hall. He is not on Kunark. He is not in Lava Frost, and I'll cut you off right there. He's not in Everstorm.
We go through this every week.
He is on Delaire, on the continent of Delaire. He is on the continent of Delaire. Is he near Hills? Technically, he's near Hills, I guess. Tanawa on the Guck server wants to know if he's in the Freeport Strategic Cheese Repository. No, he is not. We've already established he is on the Delaire continent. He cannot see water from where he is. He is not in Nectulus Forest. Not in the Wailing Caves. Is he near a cemetery? No, he is not near a cemetery. He cannot see the sky. Cannot see the sky from her. RMS on the guest server wants to know if he's in the Darklight Woods. He is not in the Darklight Woods. Lintessa wants to know if he's in a box or if he could be in a box. No, he is not in a box. He is not with a fox. He is not in Befallen. Let's see here. Can he see trees? He cannot see trees. Okay, Trista is getting very, very close. He is in Nariak. Now you have to narrow it down. Where is he? He is in a point of interest in Nariak. Wailing Caves is not in Nariak. Where in Nariak is he? Nope, no spires, no foreign quarter. Actually, I don't know if I'm in the foreign quarter or not. But Indigo Hollow? Nope. Where is he? Where in Norath is Cheez-It and Nibble Buns? Elkman Jenna's house is not in Nariak. nope, not at the Seagate. He's not at the front gate. Oh, and we have a winner! Galadin! Galadin from the Antonia Bale server has won it. He is in the concert hall.
Did he find him or did he guess?
Oh, you don't have to actually physically find him. You don't have to guess where he is. So the trick is to narrow it down, and then he's always at a point of interest that can be found on the map. And Galadin from the Antonia Bale server guessed it first. He is in the concert hall in Nariak. Go ahead and send an in-game mail to Jethal, J-E-T-H-A-L, with your real mailing address. And I will make sure that you get a t-shirt. Oh, and make sure to write down your t-shirt size. Make sure to give us your t-shirt size. I believe we have all the way up to 2X. So congratulations to Galadin on the Antonia Bale server. So I'm going to go ahead and camp back to Jethal. Actually, I should probably gate Cheez-It out of here. Bunch of vampires looking at me. So were there any guesses at all in the IRC channel?
He's in a tower.
No, not in the tower. So, Galadin, go ahead and send Jethal an in-game mail with your real mailing address and your t-shirt size, and I'll make sure that you get an online gaming, I mean, a Sony Online Entertainment podcast t-shirt out in the mail tomorrow. So I'll gate my little Rotunga butt back to South Kinos, and we'll log Jethal back in. While we're doing that, I'll switch music back to my regular talk show music. There we go. And Spiderbite, let's talk about Zam.com.
Sure.
Galen wants to know P.O. Box or not. P.O. Box is fine if you have one. That's good. I work at a shipping center, so I can send it by U.S. mail. It's not a big problem. Actually, I think it'll be cheaper that way. So Camp General. There we go. Alrighty. So let's talk about Zam.com.
Right on. Best gaming portal out there.
So tell me this. Has Alakazam sold its soul to Sony?
Absolutely.
Abso-freaking-lutely. All right.
No, I'm kidding.
No! So are you now directly connected to their database, or is that something you can't talk about, or...
You know, indirectly, we're not... It's not that we directly connected. We get a feed.
Uh-huh.
From the Sony database, and EQ2 was the guinea pig for this, to make sure they've been working on it really hard, not just the SOE developers, but the, let me go back and emphasize that, not the EQ2 developers that work on game mechanics, the EQ2 developers that work on the websites, the SOE developers. People get all upset because they, what are we doing spending all this time with that when they could be fixing my class or whatever? It's not the same people.
Okay, so these are the web developers.
Anyways, yes. And the database people, that sort of thing. And they've been working as well as their own. We have a whole team of developers at Zam, too. And for the last year, have been just, endlessly, it's been priority one to make this work. Because obviously, we want to see these kind of partnerships with other games as well.
Right.
And... It's a direct feed from Sony.
I'm assuming mob info, quest info, loot info, but not player info.
No player info.
No player info. Because I know that's, as soon as you say that you have any kind of connection to their database,
oh my god,
he has my mailing address!
The tinfoil hat brigade lines up. Yes.
So you have absolutely, positively no player info.
Just their credit card numbers and the code on the back, yeah.
Right now, Caltain is going, don't even joke about that!
Okay, I'm kidding. No credit card numbers, just social security numbers.
Okay.
We're getting absolutely nothing that is fed to the EQ2 players site. So anything you see on EQ2 players, you're not seeing on Zam. You're seeing quest data, item data, drop rates, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically everything else except player data. We're not getting logs from chats. We're not getting anything like that. It enhanced what we already had, which was player contributed. So it's almost an evolution of the wiki that has been going on for years, where players contribute the data on all the mobs and the stuff like that. But we did manage to, and this is a big kudos to our staff of developers, we retained the wiki data that we've had over the years, as well as the comments that people have made, and integrated them all. So it's a tab system. You see, you bring up a quest, you see the exact dialogue you get in the game, so you can see exactly what that quest entails, if it's coming up in the quest line that you're working on or whatever. Then you can switch to the wiki and see the walkthrough for it that has been there the whole time. And, of course, you click on the mobs, and that's going to the mob data that we get from Sony.
Right.
And that's basically the way it works. I mean, it being, very generalized, that's exactly how it works. We're just getting a feed of the data on the stuff that's been introduced to the game. A couple years back, we had the Lucy 2 thing going on where it was actually players would upload the information of things they discovered, mobs they've killed. This just takes the middleman out. But we still need people to contribute to the wiki, obviously, because you need that it's wonderful to have all that data there, but it's nothing you can use if you don't have the information like, hey, this mob respawns at this location here, because SOE's not going to tell you that. They're not going to walk you through their game.
Right, of course not.
Your colleagues do. So, yeah, that's basically in a nutshell how it works. And we're looking forward to it. I mean, it's been great. It got off to a rough start. Not really a rough start. It was a very smooth start. Let me rephrase that.
Looked pretty smooth to me. It didn't look rough.
It was extremely smooth. You know, there are a few glitches here and there. They're still kind of in a limbo about the European servers on the broker. I think that would be the only place. The broker information, which is the most valuable to a lot of people. Because they can sit at work and look at what is selling and what's still on their broker.
Now,
boxes and stuff like that.
Here's one that I was trying to look up, a quest that I was trying to look up the other day, that Zam, unfortunately, is not a big help on.
A big what?
Zam.com is not a big help on this particular quest that I'm looking up right now.
Okay.
And that's the Untapped Power, which is the mythical continuation of the Ranger's Epic Quest.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just, you know, it gives, okay, it's a signature quest, level 85 Epic, started by blah, 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 in this zone, required mobs, and then that's it. There's no dialogue, there's no no history, no media. It's one of, you know, every once in a while, you know, I use several sites. You know, you go on
you're right, there's no wiki for it, yep.
Yep, the Quest Helper, you know, you can look up by Alakazam, or you can look up through EQ2i. And I use a combination of them both. I think I generally tend to go to Zam first.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have what I'm looking for, then I'll go to EQ2i, and you know, generally between the two, I'll find what I'm looking for. But you know, this is one instance where you know, need more info on this.
I would love to be your one-stop shop, but right now, the way the gaming community works, that we all know, there is no one grand place that's going to have every single bit of information. Everybody would love to be that one day.
Of course there is.
And maybe that'll happen.
Of course there is. And it's called kithacore.org.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. No.
So what we do is, what we rely on, because we don't want to take away the interaction between the players. We want them to contribute. So here's what SOE fed us. This is something that nobody has done and actually created a wiki for from the community. Mm-hmm. This is something where I would say, hey, let's get some input here. Somebody who's outgoing and an active contributor to Zam, they come across this too, and they go, wow, I just finished that quest. Let me go ahead and document it.
Oh, there you go.
And that's the way it works. They go and they hit the edit button, and they go to town.
Are you dying up there?
Oh.
Yeah, I think you ate a jelly bean the wrong way again.
Yeah.
Do I have to come up and do the Heimlich maneuver?
I did not PK him, I promise.
He's not saying anything.
It's a media
stunt. Oh, I can hear him. He's got the mic off. He's up there hacking like crazy.
Damn you and your chocolate-covered raisins.
Hey, you're the one that snuck them.
Oh, God. I didn't even inhale one.
She had to clean out the litter box somehow.
Oh! Just wanted to check something down here. So, yes, you can go to Zam.com and mouse over game.
Hey, you come across something like that, you see an empty wiki, fill it in.
There you go. Elquin, you've already finished the damn quest. Fill it in!
So did you.
No, I haven't.
Oh, you mean the mythical one?
The mythical.
It doesn't matter how incomplete it is, because what it comes down to is, if you submit something that's incomplete, and you go, you know, here's what I got so far, go to this guy, go to this guy, go to this guy, That keeps me employed. That's my job, is to come through these and see wikis that are incomplete. They need locations. They need formatting or whatever. As a content manager, that's what I do. I come through and see, hey, thank you. I send a PM off, or if they commented, I send a comment by and go, thanks for that information. And then I go in and I edit it and clean it up.
There you go.
Make it so that it's readable, so that everything's clickable. They see a mob, or they see a location, it's a click location, or it's a mob that they can click on. That's basically what I do. I'm a janitor.
You clean it up. You clean it up.
I clean it up.
So do you have your own bucket of, you know, sawdust? Holy crap, what did this guy do here? God, let's clean this up.
There's some that are pretty interesting. We get some stuff. Wiki gets uploaded. I think one of my favorites was, don't bother with this quest. The experience sucks. Of course, I had to clean that. That required sawdust.
Well, there's information I needed. Thanks.
Yeah. Exactly.
By the way, if you're running so-and-so video card and come at her from the southeast angle, her skirt flies up in the air and you can see her panties. Which does actually happen in game quite a lot, actually.
Yeah, going through it, that's another thing on the Zam, when you're looking at a quest, if it doesn't have a wiki, look at the comments tab and make sure it has comment. See if it has comments next to it, because a lot of times some of the best strategies are in the comments. Mm-hmm. Because we're not going to sit there and post 500 people versions of a different strategy to approach a mob.
Right.
But if you go through the comments, oh, man, there's some people that spend a lot of time. They'll type books and those things on step-by-step.
And
when Venacore blinks, go. Run left.
Well, see, that's some of the things that we've been talking about over the last few weeks. You know, all these situations now, these scenarios where if you get below 20%, don't fire at them. How the hell do people figure this shit out?
You know what? The way I look at it, eventually the ADD people in the world were going to come together at one point or another. Mm. That's the way I figure it can't. I can't do it. I mean, I don't understand either.
No, it's like it's like part of the Rangers' fabled epic. You have to be out of your group to see certain items, but you're in an area that you would never get out of a group. Well, you know, you're in the middle of a hostile zone. Why would you leave your group to begin with? So who found this?
I don't know. Mm-hmm.
So who was stupid enough to get out of their group? Because I'm not calling them brilliant. They left their group in the middle of a hostile zone. Went, wait a minute, I'm seeing something now that I didn't see while I was in the group. Who the hell thinks of this stuff?
You'd be amazed.
I tried everything else.
People are, I almost, without being offensive, it's almost autistic the way some people play video games these days. They'll go through and run an instance 20 times in a row, trying every single different angle at it. And, you know, to me, hey, I applaud them. If you got that kind of time, and you're a grown adult, and you don't have to work, more power to you.
Yeah.
For me, my attention span is, I'm halfway through a raid, and I'm already bored.
I don't raid.
No offense to raiders. I think raiders are great. They fund our guild halls. They do all that kind of stuff like that. But if you got that kind of time to spend it, in the meantime, I've also been on raids where, you know, people got their mics on, and you can hear people, little kids in the background going, "Daddy, Daddy, aren't you going to come open Christmas presents with us?"
Shut up!
And kids. I want to reach out through the internet and throttle the people. Go, get off of the raid. What are you doing?
Yeah, we don't know anything about that, do we, Elkin? Boy, no. I wish I could have had dinner tonight, but someone's raiding, getting her mythical epic.
Yeah, I did a blog about that, the cost of a casual player raiding, and devoting at least three times a week to raiding you know, and yep. at the time that they scheduled it, it was like, he's coming home, and I'm on the computer, and here's your dinner, and I'm back into the computer, and it was it was a strain.
But, you know, it's one of those things where this is actually one of the situations where I'm not enjoying the West Coast. By the time I get home from work and have dinner and get online, everyone's gone.
Yeah. That's, you know, I've been on the West Coast, too. I spent most of my life in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I was playing, I first started playing EQ2. I started off in Arizona before I went up and did my Canada thing. And it was the same way. I'd be on there, and my guild would be... They'd all be online. I'm in a large guild. I have 250-plus members in our guild. But mm-hmm. And they're all active. But you know, they'd all be trait-skilling at that point, or
right.
running their solo quests, or whatever. And I'd be like, so what's going on tonight? Wow, man, you missed it all. Where yeah. were you? Because mm-hmm. they're all up in Quebec, Canada,
exactly.
or on the East Coast, or something like that.
I mean, I log in, and I send a tell to someone, say, hey, what are you doing? I could use a little, you know, I could use a hand with this over here. Well, I'm sorry, I'm in the middle of something right now. You should have been on earlier.
Sort of ironic, though, isn't it? That the Sony servers are based on the West Coast.
Yeah. They're based on the West Coast, but I think the majority of people, at least on the Antonia Bale server anyway, is East Coast or Central. Mm-hmm. And by the time I get home, everyone's either started something or they're going to bed.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be like that at any game, though.
Yeah,
it's tough. On Antonia Bale, yeah, it's sort of sad to hear that because it's the largest population in the game. But
yeah.
At the same time.
I mean, the few times I have actually stayed up past midnight and stuff, I'm pretty sure I was actually just a group of people from Japan.
Or Australians. I think the Australians come on at that time, I'm not certain.
Yeah, something like that.
It amazes me that I can...
but then again, but then it goes to the other edge of the sword. It's like, well, guys, I gotta get to bed. What do you mean you gotta get to bed? We're just getting here.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh well, what can you do? Okay, so we've established that you're not collecting anyone's credit card or any information like that.
No. No, not that I'll admit about. No.
Ooh.
No, there's no player information at all through the data feed.
No player information. Developer and guide information, on the other hand. I mean, you know, John Smedley, you know, don't mind that Rolex that was purchased last week. Yeah.
He's paying 12% interest on that. I just do that by out loud voice.
Again, Calthane is rolling over. God, no! Now, I find in everyday life, especially with one of the women that I work with, is every once in a while, you know, she's a jokester. She likes to kid around. But there are certain things you don't joke about.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is, you know, I'm over there helping a customer, and she's ringing someone up, and the customer asks, oh, you don't retain any of my credit card information, do you? She goes, oh, don't worry about it. We'll just put a laptop on there. I'm like, no! That's something you don't joke about! Especially not now! Although the damn
I used to get that all the time. I coming from the tech support industry...
Mm-hmm.
You get people on the phone and the first thing that the funniest ones are always, and I'm going to self-promote, but yeah, this is sort of an example from the book that's coming out in August that I'm writing. One of the examples is I had a gentleman call me years ago, and I was working for Charles Schwab as tech support, and he would call up, and the first thing out of his mouth would be like, are we on a secure line?
Oh God.
Like, are we on a secure line? What are you talking about? You're calling for technical support. Can I get the last four digits of your social security number? I'm not going to say that over an unsecured line. I'm sorry. I'm like, I'm looking at them anyways. Does it really matter? Well, why should I give that to you? You know, the paranoia. And it's media produced. It's not anything else. It's just like people like, I'm going to get hacked. Well, what kind of federal government secrets you got on your computer that you think you're a target.
Yeah, really.
You're not going to be hacked. But, yeah, no. It's amazing the paranoia that's out there about that kind of stuff. People won't buy station cash items because, oh, my God, I got to get the security code for my credit card. It's like, but you gave that when you set up your subscription.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God.
They're just verifying it.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't play while your buddies are looking over your shoulder. You'll be okay. They might be able to unencrypt those asterisks on your screen that are being typed in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, boy. So does anyone out there have any questions for Spider-Bite about Zam or his personal life? What does he like to drink?
I'm an open.
Do you like to be smeared with peanut butter since you're a Rotonga?
No, I'm allergic to peanut butter. Not in real life, but my Rotonga is.
He's allergic to peanut butter?
Yes, Spider-Bite, the Rotonga, is allergic to
peanut butter. Akisha wants to know if you like hot chocolate.
Allergic to hot chocolate?
I don't know. She just blurted out hot chocolate. Well, I don't know. It's the kind of audience I have, unfortunately.
Does he like cheese? Do you like cheese?
You know what? I liked the cheese until Kaldine and Kiara were throwing it at me constantly over the years.
Nice.
Uh-oh. So now I'm lactose intolerant.
Oh, a lactose intolerant Rotonga?
Absolutely. That's what it seems to happen. It's a side effect of too much cheese.
I ate a block of cheese last night.
I like cheese in real life. Absolutely.
So do I. Extra sharp cheddar. That's my thing.
I know.
I love extra sharp cheddar.
I'm fully expecting a fanfare to be pelted with cheese cubes when I get there. And the word from the herd was last year, and I suddenly couldn't make it because of a last minute employment problem. I had to I missed out on Kiera's gift, which was an actual giant rat trap.
Oh god. Nice.
Yeah, what's your book going to be called?
I don't have a title for it.
What is it about, more or less?
Oh, what I'm doing is, originally it was going to be it was basically going to be targeted at just tech support people in the industry. All industries, because I've worked in all the industries. I've worked in finance, tech support, I've worked in, gaming tech support, all of them.
Can I say something funny about tech support?
Yeah, absolutely.
I used to work for an ISP back in New Hampshire. Independent service provider. And we were actually instructed by our office manager, whether or not he was joking or not, that if we have to spend more than 10 minutes on the phone with someone, instruct them to go to AOL.
Yeah, absolutely. Back in those days, I owned my own ISP before I sold it to Earthlink.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the same thing we did, except my approach, and this is in the book too, is back then, what we would do is we would tell the... Because back then, it was majority of the users were AOL users. Because AOL was the internet.
Back then.
So if AOL went down, the whole internet must be down.
Mm-hmm.
So when that happened, and it was obviously a problem on our end, I would tell them to do a disk defrag and a disk check. And I would walk them through how to do it. Because back then in the day, Windows 3.1, etc. That took 9-10 hours. By then, I guaranteed it was going to be fixed, no matter how many beers I had to drink to do it.
Nice.
No matter how hard I had to push that 16-year-old Linux expert to get my server back up and running again, or replace the old Rockwell modems that were running, whatever.
Oh, jeez.
But yeah, the book is basically going to be a humorous take, and it was just going to be a list of almost like a book of dirty jokes with nothing but quotes from all the tech support calls I've taken over the years in different industries. The most recent one being working for Verizon Wireless, I took calls for BlackBerry users. And this is basic, and it's basically going to be, instead of it, what it evolved into was, I'm taking these quotes, and they're going, I'm listing a few of them in the beginning of each chapter, and it's completely stupid people calling in, asking stupid questions, or having stupid concerns, and then I went into it further, and in making each chapter, how to avoid being, quote-unquote, that person.
You know, I honestly think that some people need to go and take tests to get a license to be using a computer.
Well, that's old school. I mean, it's true. I mean, I think one of my favorites from the old days was, it actually wasn't the old days. It was when I was at Schwab in 2000. It was the elderly people that were really the biggest problem. For tech support people, because at that point they were told by their bank or their investment company or whatever, we're going to start charging you when you call us or walk in through the doors. Go use our online site. And up to that point, they had told every generation before them, I will never use a computer. I will never touch a computer. Now they're pissed off. Because somebody made them sit down in front of a computer. And that is the hardest kind of person to work with. They don't want to be there in the first place.
Yeah.
And, yeah, one of the gentlemen I had was... And I still remember it to this day. This one will be in the book. It was sitting there going, okay, so, sir, I need you to click on your start menu. Where's the start menu? It's in the lower left-hand corner of your screen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Fine, I'm clicking on it. And then all you'd hear would be the clack, 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 clack. Wow, that's a loud mouse. And you go, nothing's happening. All right, well, can you just click on it one more time with your left mouse button? Okay, I'm holding the left mouse button down. Okay, now click on the start menu. Clack, 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 clack. Ah, nothing's happening. Sorry. Finally, it just occurred to me, and it's like, sir, are you tapping on your screen with your mouse? Well, yeah, you told me to click on the start button.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, it's just stuff like that. And then you got the typical classics, like the person who's like, your site's down. Well, no, it's down. There's 10,000 plus people on it right now. Well, it's been down for me for an hour. Well, what happened an hour ago? Nothing happened. Your site's been down. I'm losing millions of dollars. Really? As I'm looking at their balance of $500 in their account, of course. And I'm like, well, what happened an hour ago? Let's go back. What happened to change? Well, the power went out. Even that's an old class. But that you get those all the time. Of course the power went out.
How about this one, being called into the office because the office printer isn't working? And I walk over there, take one look at it, shove a bunch of paper in it, and go, you know, the printer works better if it's got paper. And they sit there and go, huh?
Usually when it's over the phone, they hang up on you. They can't.
No, this is I have to do it in person with people at my work.
Oh, see, yeah, IT too. I've done that too. That's fun too.
Or
walking up and plugging somebody's mouse in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun. That's my.
Then they'll
my
either
trick.
Thank
well,
you.
Well, my
be
thing.
Funny about it, or they'll walk away and be.
Well, my thing was, half the time these people would call up and they didn't have their computers on a separate phone line. So it would be like, all right, go. You know, they'd go, well, the site's down. And be like, all right, well, try going to it now. And all of a sudden you hear,
Yep.
Ah, you bastard. Yeah.
That's evolved into the wireless phone industry when I was at Verizon. You used to get that on people's BlackBerries. Be like, okay, so what we need to do is a hard reset. What that means is you're going to pull the battery out of your phone. Now, you're not on the phone right now, right? No, I'm not. All of a sudden, disconnect.
Uh-huh.
Like, duh. Why would you call on the device that you're having an issue with?
Mm-hmm.
They think you're going to fix something on your end, because, come on, let's face it. Anybody calls tech support, it's never a problem with your computer.
Of course
it's a problem with something on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
You've done nothing wrong.
No.
It had nothing to do with all the porn you clicked on.
Right. I mean, my old supervisor, my old office manager, if it worked for him, then there's nothing wrong.
That's right. On the other side of the coin, especially going back to the gaming part of it, you get these people who go, this game sucks, I can't get in, especially if you read the trial forms in EQ2. This game sucks, I want to play it so badly, but I can't because it's going to take me 52 hours to play. It's like, well, you know what? Most people get the game loaded, downloaded, patched, and everything within 3 to 4 hours.
I have
so
a driver.
So there's obviously something on your end.
I have a driver at work that I've been trying it to get into EverQuest because they're tired of WoW. And he has nothing but problems trying to install EverQuest. I wish he would just bring his friggin' laptop in so I can install it for him. But then,
I mean, there's so many different equations. Who knows? Their ISP's throttling them. Their router sucks. You know, EQ2 just doesn't work traditionally like other games do. They don't use the same ports, whatever. There's just a million different factors and, you know, people's initial reaction. This game sucks.
Sucks, yeah. Now, being in tech support, there's always something amusing with people. Like I said, you know, I still think people should take a license. Some people should take a license, you know, a test, and get a little card that certifies them that they're capable of running on a computer. Half the people I deal with, they don't care. They don't want to know how a computer runs. They have no clue, and they don't care. They just want it to work. And that's a problem, because you have to at least understand a computer a little bit in order to work with it, to do anything on it. You just can't sit down and expect it to do what you want it to do if you have no understanding. You know, things like the printer. You know, the printer, it's not working. Come here and fix this. Yeah, fine, I'll put paper in it. Now it works. Mm-hmm. You know? Or my keyboard doesn't work. Well, maybe if you removed half the stuff that you got piled on the other half of the keyboard, it would function. You know? It's stupid little things like that. It's just... Your book's going to be fun to read.
It is. It's gotten... huge kudos from the publishers already, so yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
So when are you going to have it done?
August is the current date. And it's going to coincide with my girlfriend's book, who's being replaced too. Which
yeah,
is
what's your girlfriend doing?
And his girlfriend's doing a book about living with a tech support person.
No, it's completely off the wall. Hers is, she's done a blog for a number of years that is, just brought in hundreds of thousands of people all over the world following her, and she finally decided to turn it into a book. So basically her whole book is going to be her blog reprinted.
Oh yeah, I remember you writing about that. Yeah
she went, without getting too personal about it, but she went from being a normal sized woman to coming out with meningitis, and as a result she wound up gaining a lot of weight. And through this, in her way of dealing with it was to blog about how she was getting back down to losing the weight again due to health-related issues. And so she started writing a blog, 101 Reasons Why I Hate Being Fat.
And yeah, I went over and read it. It's excellent.
All these people and all these support. And, it's basically done, but it's being edited, so... At that point, I think she's probably going to publish about the same time I do.
Which would be kind of cool. Neat.
Absolutely. Although I see her on Oprah, not me.
Well, you can do the book tour circuits together, see?
But yeah, no, she inspires a lot of people around the world. So I'm pretty proud of her about that. And she's done a great job with her own life as well in regards to that challenge. But that's the neat thing about her book is her book can apply to everybody, because it's not just about being big. It's about any challenge you have. Her book can relate that way. That's the way she's writing it. It's an inspirational book more than it is a how to lose weight, because it's not about that. It's about her personal, psychological, that sort of stuff. And she does a good
process.
Job of it, because she brings in all kinds of scientific stuff, because she's got a PhD. She's a biomolecular cellular biologist or something like that.
Wow.
So she brings in all this other stuff too, going, yeah, well, I just checked my glucose level today, and man, let me tell you about glucose for people who don't know what glucose is. And then she gets into all this layman stuff about it, which is great.
I read a little bit of it, and I enjoyed what I read.
Yeah, it's fun.
So.
Yeah, so we're both getting books published, and we're looking forward to it.
Well, that's very cool. So you are going to Fanfare?
Absolutely. I'm ready. I'm gonna walk in with one of those hazmat suits, so I can fend off.
What night are you going to be in?
You know, I'm coming in on Thursday. I meant to come in on Wednesday because I was going to put together a golf scramble for attendees who golfed, and it just didn't work out schedule wise. So I'm coming in Thursday around 2:30-ish.
Well, we'll be camping somewhere. We've got a. You should just look for the banner. You'll find us by the banner. People go to Fanfare and they either kind of mingle with the crowds and just sort of lay low and, you know, blend in, or there's going to be a few of us that are going to be standing out and making fools of ourselves and drawing attention to ourselves, and that's going to be us.
Oh, I've got a few t-shirts ready to print that will draw enough attention to me.
We've
I've got one that's already got
to carry around, and we
I'm
got
ready with big fanboy across the front of it.
There you go. And two from the Antonia Bale server saying that you sound like House.
You know, I've been compared to House.
Okay, so let's hear
my boasting
you,
style.
So let's
we're
see,
have
so
to
so let's hear
house
you say.
Style.
So I want you to say you're an idiot.
You're an idiot.
Well, very close. Very close.
You know,
we'll have to get him some more.
A developer
house
actually compared me to House, an EQ2 developer. He's no, well, no, I shouldn't even say that. He was a community manager at the time. I won't say who, but it was a semi warning, one of many that I've received over the years, about something I posted, and his response to me was in a PM. It's not really what you're saying, because everything you're saying is correct. We understand and we agree, everybody agrees with you. It's how you say it that makes everybody want to kick your ass. You're like the House of EQ.
I think I remember reading that post.
Which one? This week or last year?
No, that one that you mentioned where they compared you to House. That rings a bell in my mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, yeah, I mean, I agree, and I understand. You know, I have a way of, over the years, well, that goes back to the I'm an asshole theme. You know, it's like House. Skip the being nice and sweet. And if somebody's being stupid, I feed them common sense, and people hate to hear common sense. It drives them out of their minds. Common sense is the best weapon anybody could use on a forum.
But it's not fair. You stop people from their rants and being upset and
oh,
going
I
off
know.
The deep end.
And I've gotten the let them be emotional lecture from more than a number of moderators over the years, not just in EQ2, but in all games, about, oh, they're just being emotional and passionate. It's like, no, they're being stupid. They're being dumb. Come on. You got people who, you know, I've heard everything from, I swear the entire dev team has been invaded by aliens and taken over.
Well, they have. I mean, why do you think they're coming up with all? Why do you think they're coming up with all this damn void storm stuff? You know, back in EQ1, I begged them. As a matter of fact, I went on a rant in some of my earlier shows about why does Norrath have aliens? You know, back in EQ1.
Yeah, that was a little
they started with alien crap. Why are they having aliens? It's a medieval role-playing game. Why are there aliens? And now, oh, well, they're not aliens. They're from the void. Oh, for Christ's sake! They're still aliens!
Well, where do you get Shadow Men from? We've had Shadow Men forever. At least they use something that has been with the world since day one, Shadow Men. And the Shadow
and
Men
I'll,
come from the void.
I got to defend Firefight, who I believe was doing lore at the time. He does a great job. I mean, the guy is just amazing with, you know, that person has to be like the librarian from The Mummy or whatever. the chick from The Mummy who just knows every single book in the library and knows every single piece of lore. That person, whoever's in that role at the time, needs to be given credit to keep up with that and still try to do it. How many players really in-game now keep up with the lore? Who knows what factions, what I tried to. Most people tried. You know, yeah, the people like us who are hardcore like it. Not even hardcore. Who enjoy the lore. Enjoy the game.
Because
it's the ones
lore
who are going
builds...
to end game.
Well,
in a heartbeat, yeah, they're the ones that are complaining.
The lore adds to the playability of the game. Like, I'm going to go back to WoW. When I went to go play WoW, I didn't know any of the lore of the game whatsoever. I didn't know anything of the world. I didn't know why these things were here or why this continent's there or why are these people the way they are. It was just, I had really no place to go read any of this stuff. But I knew all the lore of EverQuest. I know why, different races are the way they are and where the Dark Elves came from. And it just adds to the depth of the game that I'm playing, the world I'm in. I feel like it's more of a real place to play it. And instead of just, I'm on an RP game, I'm online, and I'm killing people. Okay. Yeah. It just adds depth.
Going back to the rants... One of my favorites of all time are the people who claim that their class is being screwed up because a developer plays an opposite class.
Oh, like Rangers!
And they're doing it for their personal
benefit. Brenlow hates Rangers!
Oh, here we go again.
Oh, no, or Ehrlich with his assassin. Assassins are overpowered because Ehrlich plays an assassin. Here they come out and try to be personable with the community and say, you know what, I really like playing my assassin on this server. And next thing you know, wham, that's it. That's the reason that all the other classes are being screwed up because Ehrlich plays an assassin. Or Brenlow plays a ranger.
They can sit down
and personally screw their entire career up by doing something like that. Like, it doesn't have to go through quality assurance or anything.
So now I'm wondering how many of them play monks.
Exactly.
Damn you, monks, and your 600... whatever the hell it is, 1,000 damage thing.
Yeah, but somebody figures out...
Smedley must play a monk! Damn you, Smed!
I don't know, I just feel like sometimes we do get the short end of the stick, like VS was part of the Mythical update, and he's like the worst mob to go up against for a raid force that you can't hardly get people to go do him because it's a very delicate raid. It's not a hard raid, it's just people have to pay attention to what they're doing, and they'd rather go do the Overking or something, I don't know. And then on top of that, the very last dragon we need is the very last one in all of VP. You know, it's like, yeah, why did they... I mean, I could see them doing this one way, but the very last dragon in VP also? Somebody threw the wrong the 20-sided dice wrong.
Yeah, because God forbid anything in this big game should be challenging.
Of course not.
Well, see, that's why I
like Free Realms.
That's why I like EverQuest 2. As far as I'm concerned, it's just challenging enough. It's not hard enough to make you go, fuck this. And it's not, World of Warcraft or Free Realms where everything's handed to you.
See? Now that's why I play PvP. Because any of the games out there that are PvE, and I can sit and go AFK for 45 minutes without having to worry about anything killing me, or I can... sit and work on a mob 15 times until I learn exactly what it's going to do and when it's going to do it is predictable.
Mm-hmm.
I like the PvP because I get that added risk. While I'm working on that mob, studying it, sure, I can conquer it after a certain period of time with my eyes closed, but I never know who's up yet. I'm about ready to backstab me.
Right.
And it gives me that extra little risk. That's why I play PvP.
There is,
and that's why I play EQ too.
You know, there is one thing that I miss about old school EverQuest. I'm talking like pre-Shadows of Luckland. Because as far as I'm concerned, I've said it many times on the show, the Shadows of Luckland expansion destroyed EverQuest.
I know we left after that. It just came. It just got.
No, it that's when it made. That was the tipping point. It went from role playing game to raiding game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you couldn't do anything.
You couldn't do anything unless you had six groups together. But anyway, the thing that I really miss is the fear.
When you went into fear?
No. I play a ranger, and I mean I play a ranger. And I have a wanderlust. I love going into situations I'm not supposed to be in. And, it's just like, I used to go around going, crap, is someone going to gank me? Or what is that mob over there? Is it going to attack me? And you couldn't tell an EQ1. Yes, you still can't tell an EQ1 unless you right-click on something and con it. But in EQ2, it's like, okay, their name's not glowing red. I'm fine. Moving along.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm working on my epic trait skill right now, and I'm running around doing the Soakar quest or whatever on Kylong Plains.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a brigand. I'm 65 brigand, and most of the stuff I can stealth through. But I'm still over stuff going, oh, red, and I'm finding my way around the path and stuff like that. And it's not... It's so easy to go, okay, so this mob's over here. I'm looking on EQ2 maps, going, okay, this... Oh, there's a named over here. And sure enough, I can see it right out of the corner of my eye going, okay, mouse over. Yep, we got to stay away from that. It can see me, and I know if I go to the websites, I can know exactly how big of an aggro it has, so I know mm-hmm. how far away I need to go around. It's just too predictable. Whereas now, I'm doing this on Venicor, I turn the corner and wham, I got five people standing in front of me, the opposite faction, are not programmed to be there.
Yep.
I've got a new plan to decide. As a brigand, no problem. Hit escape. Bam. I start over again. But
mm-hmm.
Well, it's that added risk and unpredictability that really it intrigues me about the PvP versus the PvE. PvE.
Added risk, and I really miss the deep, heavy roleplay that there used to be. I mean, mm-hmm. I remember being like, Jethel did not grow up in Greater Faedark. My friends took me out of Greater Faedark when I was like level 2 and brought me to Rivervale because you can, go from like level 1 to 20 right there in Misty Thicket. Just the further out you go, the higher level the mobs are. It was a great area, so they took me out of there. So I've never been to Kelithin. So I'm going through Kelithin and, we're a roleplay guild. We were getting heavy into the roleplay and stuff like that, and all of a sudden I see someone from, and the guild name was the High Council of Faedwyr. I'm like, these guys must run the island. So I introduce myself, so I'm like, hello, sir, I'm Jethel, and I'm from Rivervale, and I'm making my first trip to Greater Faedark, and they're like, oh, well, welcome to the island. I really thought that they ran the island. I had no idea. I had no idea that they were just another guild. Of course, back then in EQ1, there were probably only a dozen guilds.
Absolutely.
Now everyone and their grandmother has a freaking guild. They have Bob's Guild. Yeah.
Yeah, RP's so gone. I remember my first day in UO running across an orc and sitting there not knowing it's a player. Meeb want meat. Meeb me tribute. They'd be like, what? What are you talking about? And then they'd kill me. And then they'd out of character, say, listen, orcs need tributes if you want to pass without being killed.
Nice.
And then years later, you learn, hey, give them something. Give them something shiny.
Yep. Oh, I long for those days again. But anyway.
Oh,
you know what I miss? I miss the EC tunnel. That was the social hub.
I made such a score on the East Commonlands Tunnel one day. I went in there with, maybe a couple of gold, and I walked out of there with, 20 plat worth of stuff. That was back when plat meant something.
Mm-hmm.
I still remember the day that Anne, my former roommate, the woman who introduced me to EverQuest, got She was physically beating on me because I screwed up. it's the, you know, you trade between characters. How do you trade between characters? You drop it on the ground, log in the next character, and hope it's there when you come back. I lost her polished granite tomahawk. Because the character I was trying to trade it off to, I was trying an alt. The character I was trying to trade her tomahawk to was not where I thought he was.
Oops.
And I saw it decay just as I approached. It just disappeared. No! Like, no! And Anne comes in the room, she's like, what? I'm like,
nothing. Must be a bug.
No, I ended up having to tell her that I lost her because she wanted it back for fall. You know, she's like, are you still using that tom? You know, a couple of days later, she was like, are you still using that tomahawk? I'm starting up another character and they can really use it.
We got hacked!
She made me go to High Pass and camp for that goddamn tomahawk. I was there for a week to get it back.
You got hacked.
Well, for those people out there that never played EverQuest, the EC Tunnel, or East Commons Tunnel, was a tunnel that ran from East Commons to North Row. And it was a place where if you had something to sell, instead of putting on a broker, you went there and you spam the zone selling your items.
Or if you were looking for something, you go in.
Or if you looked for something, yeah, you would go there. I mean, everybody that was anybody would end up at EC at one time or another.
And back then, very few items were no trade.
Yeah. So I mean, you could use an item, and then when you're done with it, you could trade it off.
Right. So nothing was attunable and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and you know, you find yourself at the Shady Swashbuckler.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. And for the longest time, that was the social center of EverQuest world, basically.
Yep. Okay. It's almost 9:30. I think it's time to close this up. Spider, do you have anyone you want to give a shout out to?
Well, Caltine, of course. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, I have a job tomorrow. No, I'm kidding. Everything was cool. And, of course, my guild over on Vinicora, which is Avatars of Hate. We're looking forward to going over to Nagafin. Well, okay. I say that sarcastically, but. Yes, looking forward to getting mindlessly killed right out of every single city gate. So I can be a newbie all over again. It's going to be like being reborn. Otherwise, no. Yeah, no, it was a pleasure being here. My first time on the Jethal Silverwing show.
Oh! Jethal!
Man,
Jethal.
Did I rape that one, did I?
It's Jethal, not Jethal.
I did that on purpose.
I know.
Yeah.
Everyone always screws up my name on purpose. Actually, you realize how many people, you know, they just see the name, but they don't know me? Just think from just the name that it's a female character?
Oh, that's okay. They think I'm a male character.
Really? I would think Elk.
You don't know how many posts I've seen. Well, they refer to Elk and Jenna as a he.
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude. I have been asked to plug a blog of apparently an artist. It is... God, what is this? EverQuest Secret Tales .blogspot.com, and Secret and Tales is kind of run together there, so it's actually EverQuest Secret, or you could say EverQuest Secret Ales .blogspot.com.
Either sounds like a microbrewery or a really raunchy website.
All right!
Secrets and Tales.
Either way!
Rich Diaries of EverQuest.
Time! Oh! God, I can see it now. We're going to get to friggin' Vegas, and all of a sudden everyone's just going to hear, hey, I'm here! Let's get pissed!
Oh, God.
I'm going to get us thrown out of the fucking hotel.
Are you kidding me?
You got me as a sidekick this year. Trust me. It won't be.
We're going to be shutting the bars down. I can just feel it.
Yeah.
And they don't usually shut down.
That makes Vegas roll over.
Now, the one thing that I am going to be looking into is we need to find, and I know there has to be a place in Vegas to rent a hot tub, because the Legion of Kithakor must have a hot tub party.
There should be one at the hotel.
Well, I know you can get rooms.
We're just going to have to use the main one in the hotel. That's all.
Oh, yeah. As soon as they see a bunch of gaming people running towards the hot tub, the pretty people will disappear.
It'll be ours.
We'll have it quite to ourselves, yes.
Nerds!
Exactly. Yeah, come on. We got to rent Revenge of the Nerds while we're there.
Oh, I have to, I also have to plug a terrific job by Trueflight on the redesign of our arena area in the Legion of Kithakor T2 Guild Hall in South Kinos on the Antonia Bale server. He did a fantastic job with the new arena. Sorry, in the back of the hall. I've also redesigned our banking area. I just, trying to clear up some spots so he can get the arena done. But that ended up getting all redone. Yeah, oh God, we had to clear out like 150 slots or something like that for him to get that arena done. But it looks fantastic. I love it. Elkwin, do you have anyone you want to shout out to?
Yeah, I have two things.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I want to say that the SOE podcast number 63 came out today.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to check that out, that's at station.sony.com /en/podcasts.vm, I believe will get you there. It is the first interview with Alan Brenlow Crosby as the new producer for EverQuest 2. Congratulations again, Alan.
Congratulations,
we're in good
Brenlow.
Hands now, yes.
Absolutely.
Well, not that we weren't in good hands with Bruce.
That's true.
So, let's not, Bruce minimize that. Bruce did a great job. I'm sure Brenlow's going to...
I had no problems with him.
I'm sure Brenlow's going to have a great time and do a great job. I just remember, meeting Bruce when I was in San Diego at Sony headquarters. I sat down and started grilling him about lore and stuff like that, and he just had this look on his face like, "Someone help me! Someone help me!"
Producer is a project manager, not an expert.
Oh, no. I sat him down. I'm like, all right, look. I run Kithakor.org. I run a guild called the Legion of Kithakor, both on EverQuest 1 and EverQuest 2. So, of course, I have one question for you, sir. And he's like, yes. And I'm like, so when are we going to be able to sit in chairs?
Jeez.
So I didn't ask him about Kithakor's forests. No, I saved those questions for the devs. That's Kithakor's chorus coming out. And they teased and taunted me.
I, for one, am looking forward to the fanfare very much.
So am I. I haven't been to the fanfare since the Boston fanfare. Which was like 5 years ago. So we're going to have a good time.
Absolutely.
With any luck, I mean, we'll get the guys from the Legion of Kithakor together and all chip in and get a nice big old hot tub or something like that, and we're going to have some fun. Hopefully no one will become pregnant.
I hope not. So
either.
Do I get my other shout out, or are you going to keep going?
Go on. Shout it out, baby.
Wanted to give a shout out to Scythrac. Am I saying that right?
Scythrac.
He gives the best battle cry, let me tell you. He was wondering if I was female. Well, I just want to make sure he knows that, yes, I am a female.
Okay, what is his battle cry?
He's a bard, I believe. Or
okay,
dirge.
But what is his battle cry?
It's a spell. Makes me want to touch myself. So anyway.
Okay, then. Trueflight wants to know if Coyote is going to be there. I don't know. I haven't heard from Coyote since he left Tenton Hammer.
I've heard no.
Cody's not going to be
there. I've heard rumors that Radar X is bailing too.
Ooh. I understand that just about every DJ from Online Gaming Radio will be there.
Okay. Well, that would be good. I hope so.
So, yeah, Xanadi,
Delmon.
Delmon, me, Elkwin Jenna,
Leone
and Lux, and Monty or Orlok, as he's now called, probably not going to go, but I think Swold is, who used to be called Akira. But yeah, we're looking to all have a good time. And
from the ZAM network, anybody wondering, it's going to be, I'll be there, Kelty will be there, mm-hmm. Bloodwing is going to be there.
Femme and her husband will be there, folks on the Antonia Vale server that know Femme and, God, what's her husband's name? Jagu, something like that? Can't think of it now. But yeah, we got a bunch of people from the Legion of Githgar showing up. We are going to tear things up, ladies and gentlemen. And I still have to come up with some kind of a contest. I am going to have a couple dozen CDs that I'll be giving out of my stuff.
Not like you people have actually voted on which song or anything like that.
No, I put it out there. You know, you guys, you know, go to my site, kithacore.org/jukebox, and vote on which songs you want to see on the CD. Well, each song now has like 2 votes. One of them was done by me. So I don't know. So I'll just put what I think is the best songs on there, I guess. And we'll go from there. All right. We're gonna call it a night. Anything else before we go, folks?
I'm good. Looking forward to seeing everybody's fanfare. Look out for me.
We're gonna have a good time.
All right, folks, that's it. This is Jeff Zibbling Show for the 26th of May, 2000.
Well, all right, that's it for this week's episode of the Gentle Silverwing Show. I'm your host, Gentle Silverwing.
I'm the Drunken Dwarf!
And I'm Cheesy Nibblebuns!
Online Gaming Radio is a proud member of the ZAM Network. Our producer is Dee Pockets. Our technical advisor is Spike Link Death. Facts and Intelligence brought to us by the Grassy Knoll. Our spiritual advisor is Al Kilholic. Sensitivity Seminars by Mandy Feldersnatch. And noted contributions by 3 Badgers, 2 Giant Rats, a 4-pound jar of jelly beans, package of expired Twinkies, and a small rock.
Yay, rock!
Be sure to catch our show every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, at some ungodly hour in the UK. So, for the Drunken Dwarf, Cheez-It, and my love, El Quintana, keep your arrows in the air and your feet on the ground.